submarine.
Go on, let's hear the submarine joke. Is it about right. seamen?
No.
Okay, let's hear it.
So there's a German sub.
Okay.
And this is after the war, so the Germans, the Britons, they're all getting along really, really nicely. And then there's the German
because we all made up and we all kissed and made up.
We all kissed and made
after
up.
After World War II.
But yeah, so there's a German submarine off the coast of Britain.
Oh no.
And they retain a bit of damage. And, you know, there's a big hole in the submarine and it starts filling with water.
And sorry, I got the chuckles. I don't know where you're going with it. keep going. Don't let me stop you.
And so the German captain of the submarine gets on the intercom-y thing and radios the mainland of Britain and goes, help, we are sinking.
His English is quite good, isn't it?
We are sinking.
We are sinking. Shit, James, can you translate it for us, please? I don't understand what you're saying.
And then the Britons go, what are you thinking of?
Oh. Okay, that'll do. I'll put that before it. I like that. Oh, hi. Didn't see you there. I'm Ryan Burr, and you're listening to the Burn Friends podcast. Today I'm joined with Mark.
Hello. Or something.
Wow, great. Because I said say hello or something. Very, very big brain boy over here. And of course, I'm also joined by my good friend James.
Fuck off and die.
Okay.
I'm just following order, like the Germans did.
Yeah, this is supposed to be like a friendly podcast, you know, for my friendly friends. but no, that's fine. You guys introduce yourselves however you like. It's fine by me. All right, today we're going to talk about Germany, specifically Berlin, because me and Mark have both been to Berlin before, but on separate occasions. So we are going to share with you those occasions. And also, James, you've been to Germany as well, but
yeah,
we don't know where.
I can't remember where in Germany, because in all fairness, we didn't spend a lot of time doing touristy stuff.
How long ago was this?
During the war.
During the war.
Yes, it was during the war.
God, you have aged phenomenally.
I have aged so well. I am actually 85 years old.
You've aged like a fine wine.
Oh, what's wine?
Wine.
What's a wine?
It's how the middle class say it, or so I hear.
Middle class.
I am middle class, and I can tell you that's not how we fucking say wine.
Well, you don't strike me as middle class. We won't get into that.
Okay, I'm Scottish middle class, which is something entirely different.
It's English working class.
Yeah.
But Scottish working class, that's like a whole new category.
That's a whole, yeah.
Right. Well, okay, I guess we'll come back to you. I want to hear Mark's story first, his time in Berlin, then I'll share mine, then we'll hear yours last, before we move on to the topic of the day. So Mark, give us some context. When did you go to Berlin?
So this was in 2017,
okay.
I think. It's first year of sixth form. So I would have been 17.
Turning 18?
No.
No, 16 turning 17.
Yeah, it was in March. It was in March 2017.
Early on.
That's when it was, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was on a school trip. And it was for, like, history and philosophy and ethics. And that's why I went, because I was doing philosophy and ethics.
I went for, like, the history aspect. So retell the story to us. What was day one like of going to Berlin?
Oh, this is definitely not going to be chronological order. I have no idea.
Okay,
I'll have to piece it together as I go.
All right, honestly, we'll wing it. That's absolutely fine. Tell us about your experience, what Berlin was like, what the food was like, the people, the
before we
activities.
Got there, I remember we had to get up really early to go to the school, and then we went to the airport.
Oh yeah, we always go at like awkward times because it's cheaper for the school to book like the weird flights. Did you go with like a friendship group or anything? Or?
No, none of the people in my friendship group really went.
I had the same problem.
So I thought I went with like people I knew, but they weren't. We weren't, like, really close.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was quite
nice.
It was, like, a nice difference.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I had the same sort of thing where it's, like, none of my, like, close friends went, but, like, people I was familiar with did go. So I hung out with them. We also had a fun time, of course.
I think it did make me appreciate my actual friendship group. Because by the time I came back, I was like, oh, I miss
them. Yeah, because like they don't. Some people don't share the same sort of like humor and inside jokes as you might, stuff like that. But yeah, I suppose like in a way, it's cool to like branch out, meet new people. You know, be a social butterfly. Mr. Worldwide, they call me. Yeah, it's true.
This was the first time I'd like ever been abroad or on a plane or anything like that.
Hmm.
So before we went, this girl who was going, she's like scared of flying, but she was hyping up like flying being really scary, and I expected it to be like a little scary, and it was just really underwhelming.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, this sucks. It's just really boring.
I feel like there's no in between. Some people either just think it's fine, or some people just like hate it, like completely can't stand it.
Yeah, because I've flown like hundreds of planes.
Wow.
And well, okay, not hundreds, but a lot of planes.
You've done a lot of travelling. Out of all the people I know, so I wouldn't have guessed this, but like you've actually travelled like some of the most.
Part of middle class.
Yes, exactly, you can afford it.
But then again, I am Scottish middle class, so that really is just working class.
Yeah.
But I've been on quite a few planes, and it's like, what the fucking big... Why are people scared of flying? Like,
personally, I think it's like super chill. I like a bit when you're going along the runway, picking up the speed. Well, we'll move away from the plane talk, then we'll carry on with your story, Mark. Where were we at again?
So it was just like this was all before we actually went.
No, that's okay though.
My favourite.
That's okay.
But I'm done with that part now. There's nothing really exciting before we went.
Okay, so we're now on the actual travelling part.
Yeah.
Heading there. So what was your first flight like?
Pretty underwhelming. I expected it to be at least a little scary because this girl was hyping up.
It's not that long either, like England to Germany, about an hour 30 minutes.
Yeah,
longer.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
I remember at the airport, this one guy was like, "You better watch out, Mark, or they'll find your drugs."
Oh no.
And he obviously was joking. Someone had like a right go at him. He was like, "You can't say that at an airport!"
Have you ever played the bum game in the airport before? Where you just go around saying, "Wow, this airport's the bum. This McDonald's is the bum."
No, you don't do that, do you?
I swear, I promise you, I do sometimes.
Oh, God.
Because here's the thing: when I'm traveling, I get really like hyperactive and excited. So like when I was like at this age, when I went to Germany, I would have been like 17 as well, 16, 17. It's so, like, you know, it doesn't take a lot of persuading for like a teen boy just to like.
To
piss around, yeah.
But no,
I mean, I
wouldn't
do anything to genuinely scare or harm anyone, but I would just like
running around yelling bomb.
Exactly, I like to tease. So plain, underwhelming.
Yeah.
Short journey. Okay, let's carry on from there. So you arrive in Germany. What was day one like? Or what can you remember of day one that you can piece together?
So I don't specifically really remember what we did on what days.
Okay.
But like.
We can just go through like different things at once. So what were the activities the main activities you did as a part of your school trip?
So we went to, what's it called?
The concentration camp?
Yeah, Sachsenhausen. Concentration
camp. Is that the one you went to?
Yeah.
I went to the same one.
Yeah.
In Berlin. Yeah, I think it's the second largest one, or if not the largest one.
I think it might be like the largest one that's just...
In Germany.
That's just they're working, where they aren't killing people. It's just
no, they killed people there.
Oh, did they?
We saw the ovens.
Oh, okay. Oh.
We saw the ovens and the shower.
Isn't the largest one Auschwitz?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, Sachsenhausen is the second largest one. Thanks, James.
Yeah.
Thanks for fact-checking that. I knew you were here for something. So, yeah, you just Sachsenhausen. What was that like for you?
That was pretty good.
Good?
That was pretty good.
Is that the correct word to describe the concentration camp?
Enlightening.
Informative.
Enriching of my life.
Hmm. I mean, it was quite the experience. It's not like anything I've ever done before,
no.
Or like ever will do again. It's very, it's quite an eye-opening thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just feels, you know.
Surreal.
It's got that atmosphere.
Surreal in a way, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Like shit, someone died here.
It just makes me feel shit. Yeah, it's kind of hard to keep a light-hearted mood going when you're talking about concentration camps, but we're going to go for it anyway. Yeah. We're gonna see...
I say that, but, like, I didn't feel as bad as I thought I would. Like, I wasn't there. Mm. Like, I wasn't feeling really sad the whole time.
I wasn't...
I did sort of just feel like, this is weird.
See, I went to the concentration camp. I went to Sachsenhausen. And on another day, I went to the Jew Memorial Museum.
We might have been there as well.
It's like, it's quite a weird looking thing. If I showed you a picture, you'd probably recognise it. But yeah, going back to the G Memorial Museum, I kind of found that a little more emotional than the concentration camp itself.
Was that the one where they have the bit where, like, all the shoes and, like, suitcases and stuff that they, like, couldn't bring?
Yeah, and one of the like, saddest parts were the actual notes that, like, some Jews wrote to, like, their family members. And, like, the actual notes themselves, obviously, were very depressing to read, but a lot of the people on the trip got, like, very emotional, and being around, like the other people my age, like, my classmates, like, watching them get upset really, like, made me emotional. I didn't cry, but, like, it really...
Not
like...
pussy!
No, exactly. I like to establish right now I'm not some kind of hussy, okay? Just for the record. But no, like, seeing them, like, depressed, like, made me sad too.
Yeah.
But...
I kind of had, like, the opposite effect. Because, like, one of the people I was going around with, he's quite the joker.
Oh, he wasn't, was he?
He's a bit like... No, not there.
Okay, like, in general, afterwards.
He's quite the joker.
Okay, okay.
He's a bit like you, really.
Oh, thank you very much.
How you used to be in your school stories.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a dickhead chucking stones at babies and stuff.
A Bantasaurus Rex.
But
a bit of a joker.
Sachsenhausen, he was like real sad. He was like,
oh, really, like real, like, change of character.
Yeah, it felt a bit put on, to be honest.
I had to, like, comfort someone on the trip, which is, like, really, I don't know, like, it felt kind of weird in a way, how, like, this person just, like, opened up to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know me, like, we spoke, literally speaking about it, Bantasaurus Rex, not the kind of guy you'd, like, speak about your emotions to, generally. Yeah, these museums you went to, like, the concentration camps, were, like, very, very powerful, I think, is a way of describing it.
That's what I was going to say. Like, he might have, you know, genuinely been that upset about it, but to me it did really feel like, he probably doesn't feel as bad as, like, he feels like he should. So he's trying to, like, make it seem like he feels, like, way worse.
Okay, like he's, like, putting on a sort of mask.
Yeah, like, that might be me projecting a bit, because I didn't feel as bad as, like, I felt like I would.
Look at you with psychological terms. So, coming away from the concentration camps and the Jew Memorial Museum, what other activities did you get up to in Berlin?
Well, this was definitely on the first day, going around on the trains and the trams and all that.
Oh, just like general sightseeing?
Yeah, we were given, like, we were all put into, like, little groups, because I wasn't really sure who I'd be with yet.
Mm-hmm.
I was just put in this group of these random girls in the year above who I didn't know.
Right.
And we were all given,
like, older girls. Nice.
No, these were the nerdy loser girls.
Nice. I mean, people have a thing for that.
No, that fit perfectly, because I imagine in school you were a nerdy loser boy.
How dare you?
Wait, we didn't say loser. When did this word loser come from?
Did I not say loser? I meant to.
I don't
know. Yeah, you did say nerdy loser.
Okay. I didn't know if you were just attacking my good friend for a second there.
I feel a little bad.
I mean,
now.
Even if he didn't, I would have said nerdy loser boy.
Okay.
I feel a little bad now. They didn't do nothing wrong. I don't even know who these girls are, really. But, like, I didn't want to go with these girls because we were given, like, group train tickets. And I didn't want to go with these girls. So I just didn't go with them. I went home with the boys.
Oh,
so
my God.
So I just didn't have a train ticket the whole time.
Bros before hoes.
But we were never asked for tickets for, like, the whole thing.
Hmm.
So I got away with it pretty well.
No, that's the thing, like, you never normally do, but just to be on the safe side, you got to get a ticket. I mean, abroad, it's not so bad. It's here in England where tickets are a rip-off.
Yeah.
So you went around with the boys. What did you do with the boys on this day? On this fine German day?
Sightseeing. We went around, we got fish for tea, I remember that.
Ooh,
fish. As in fish and chips from a chippy, or, like, posh fish?
Posh fish.
Posh fish.
Like, not battered fish, basically.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty standard.
Standard battered fish? Yeah. Oh, very nice. I suppose you remember, honestly, my memory of Germany is, like, very faded.
We went to McDonald's at one point. Clearly we didn't, you know, in taking the local cuisine, we just did normal stuff.
So you had sightseeing for boys. What other activities did you do in Germany, Berlin?
So we went to the museum and Sachsenhausen. I mean, there was one other, like, big thing we did. I don't really remember what it was.
Did you go and see the famous gates? You know, the famous Berlin gates? I'll find out the name
for
it.
Yeah, that's what we did, yeah. Because I remember one of them wasn't, like, a, you know, Holocaust thing. It was just a Berlin thing.
It is called the Brandenburg Gate. Yeah,
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about the Reichstag? Did you go there? Yeah, it's like the sort of the government building.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I'll tell you about that then in a minute. That's exciting. All right, so if that's some of your activities, I guess you've kind of touched upon the food already.
Yeah, we didn't have any local food.
What are some other things you think are worth mentioning about your time in Berlin?
The first thing I thought of, I'll talk about this on the podcast. I don't want to say his name, but he was a big boy.
You can say his name. Say his name. I'll find out a way to bleep it out.
It's a big boy. The cool guy. Don't know why I'm saying he's a cool guy. He was alright. He was a big guy. The lads. I mean, we got him on the trains and like, you know, he was running towards it. The doors were shutting and he like hops on and like pushes the doors away.
Like a superhero. Really
cool. Fucking hell.
Wow.
And our teacher was like, you fucking idiot. What did you that for?
I have to show off my brute strength, miss. The ladies must know what they're missing out on.
I mean, you know, 60
He probably has a tiny dick, though, let's be honest. Probably compensating for something.
Hey, don't slag off, big boy.
There's a reason why we call him big boy. his weight, he was obese.
To be fair, he wasn't even, like, fat. He was a bit chunky.
Chongus.
He just stood in the doorway and that was it. The doors bounced off him.
It bounced off his belly.
No! He wasn't even fat.
Oh, what was that? The door was closing. I didn't even notice.
He wasn't even fat. He was just tall.
Feels funny, man. We've probably said his name too many times enough to bleep it out. We're just going to have to go with it. I mean,
kicking the doors down now. You could be talking.
You could be talking about any morbidly obese. But I like to think it's fatter.
After this, every person who's obese and called is just going to come and sit on Mark.
No, I had another friend called who actually was
not obese.
No, he wasn't obese. He was just fat. Actually was fat, unlike big boy. He was just, you know, tall.
Obese.
No, he wasn't obese. Stop bullying big boy.
Well, I think that's a good story to share. What other wacky things happened during your time? Oh, wait, for the activity, did you go to the Olympic Stadium?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the big...
That was cool.
What notes do I have on this? So the big Olympic Stadium was, like, so cool. It was, like... So what's, like, a famous football pitch? I don't know football things.
I don't fucking know.
And, like... Manchester football field or something.
Sure.
Manchester football field.
Like, I assume that's quite big, if there's any football fans listening. Picture that, but like 3-4 times bigger. That's how bloody big the stadium was for the Olympics thing. It was
big.
So cool. What do you remember from that? I mean, it's whatever you don't remember, that's okay, because my trip was so similar to yours, I can like fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
So I'll do mine after yours.
Remember there was like a pool and it was empty. And we were like, oh, go jump in.
No, yeah, we drained the pool that was used during the Olympics. It's just for show now. Like, I don't think a stadium gets used at all. I think it is just for tours. And maybe if there was, like, maybe if they do big events, they'd use, like, the main stadium bit. I don't know.
They would, like, the Bears. Do you remember the Bears?
Oh, the colourful Bears.
Yeah, the colourful Bears.
Oh, I got so many pictures of the colourful Bears.
Like colourful Bears?
Yeah, so Bears. So for anyone listening, we have these, anyone listening, no one's listening. They had these colourful like bear statues just dotted around the place. I don't know. I guess it was the mascot at the time.
Yeah.
And at the stadium, on one of the... They have a famous bell there. And the reason why it's famous is because it's actually got a swastika embedded on it. And it's the only legal swastika left in Germany.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to see the legal... Like I said, it's the only legal swastika. I mean, there might be illegal ones dotted around the place. Yeah. But they got banned after World War II. It was a history factory
and I
there.
Think... As part of the games that were held there, there was a athletics race, you know, like the 200 meters or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And this athlete Jesse something, I can't remember his surname, won it, and he was black, and so Hitler had to present a gold medal.
Oh yeah.
To I remember a black
this.
Bloke.
I remember
and
this.
It was
I remember
like,
the story.
Do you not see the flaw in your plan here, Mr. Hitler?
I remember that story. I remember my history teacher telling us that story. Yeah. Eat shit, Hitler. If there's any descendants of Hitler listening right now, you're an official enemy of the Bear and Friends podcast. So dumb. Okay. So yeah, we both did the stadium as well. I don't remember much of the stadium though.
No, I don't.
I just remember like the sheer size of it being impressive, but like the actual like Tory bits were just like sort of like maybe
remember
basic.
Not buying anything because
I got a scarf.
They were too expensive.
I got a proper, it was like a dark blue scarf with like some kind of logo on it. Ooh. I don't know what the logo was of or what it supports. I just got it because I really like my scarf.
The bell with a swastika.
Oh my god, this is Heil Olympics on it. Anyway, I got a little scarf as a souvenir. I like my scarves. They're a fun fashion accessory.
Did you buy a lot of stuff up there then?
I think that was one of my... I got my scarf, and I also got a little, like, ceramic model of the Brandenburg... Is that what it's called? The Brandenburg Gate? Just for... Because I... Whenever I... Yeah, Brandenburg Gate. Whenever I try and go somewhere new, I try to pick up a little, like, souvenir of a place to add to my little shelf of souvenirs.
Yeah, I got, like, a little model. It might have been up to Brandenburg Gate. Let me look up what it looks like.
No, but yeah, that's fine.
I don't think it was the Brandenburg Gate.
What was it a model of?
It was a model of something in Berlin.
If you show me, I might be able to name it.
Well, I haven't got it.
Could you describe it?
I know it was the Brandenburg Gate. It was? It's got the little thing on the top.
The little horse.
Yeah, little
horse. The man riding the horse carriages.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think I just got, like, food. Alright, so resuming wherever we were, which is where exactly. We just finished talking about Olympic stadiums and souvenirs. Anything else happened during your time in Berlin? Any wacky stories or anything cool maybe? It doesn't necessarily need to be like an anecdote. Something you'd like to mention, something you enjoyed about Berlin.
I don't think that much more happened.
Oh, can I just ask... Is it just me, or going around Berlin, could you, like, smell the sewers really bad? Or was that...
I don't think so. I don't remember anything like that.
Maybe it was someone on my trip, then.
I remember, like, the architecture was pretty neat.
It was very, in most places, it was very, like, sort of old European style. In some places, you had a nice few, like, sets of, like, modern buildings, which were cool.
I just remember the people around me talking about how cool the architect, and I was like, oh, yeah, guys.
Yeah.
I agree.
Wow, it's rectangular. I love it. It's a very sexy building. Is that about it for yourself, then?
I think so. I can't.
Yeah.
Can't remember anything.
Feel free to like interrupt me if I remind you of anything.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm gonna share my time in Berlin now. I also was like around the same sort of age. Like I was the last year of high school, so I was 16.
Oh, okay.
I went a year before you. So, yeah, 16. That's right. Yeah. I had to work it out in my head. My first day there, before I'd even like got there, I had some trouble at the airport. I lost my boarding pass. So just before we boarded the plane, I got a Burger King, which I got two of. I had one there, and I also packed one in my backpack to have on the plane. Because I mean, why not? You know, got to snack. I love my Burger King. If anyone from Burger King is listening right now, and you want to give me money for picking up,
promote. But saying I like Burger King.
Yeah, that's all you need to do, right? I can't see why not. You know, they like having their products being bigged up. I like money.
So if I go out and shout in the street, I like Burger King.
Well, this is like, you know, what would you, a business? Where it makes no money?
It's free advertisement.
It's free, right now it is, but yes. Burger King, if you want me to fucking mention you again, you'll give me some money. You'll know what's good for you.
You can eat it on the ground or in the sky. Can't do that with McDonald's.
No. Sorry, McDonald's. If anyone from McDonald's is listening right now and you want to give me money, no.
To stop saying you're an ass.
You have to give me money to specifically stop it.
Well,
yeah.
I've never seen anyone eating McDonald's on a plane, have you?
See, that
don't
is...
think so.
No.
Exactly.
Bam.
You can't eat McDonald's in the sky.
I had some trouble actually getting on the plane, so that's my boarding pass. But me being the young, charismatic sweetheart I am, I sweet-talked the lady at the desk. Look at you trying to laugh. What? Why is that funny? I'm charismatic.
That's really bad. I didn't have, you know, my boarding pass, but they just let me on anyway.
I just did, like, the sweet innocent, like, okay, I'll just get my boarding pass. Oh, it doesn't appear to be in my bag. Oh, you know what? I think I've lost it. Is there anything you can do to help me? I can give you my name. I can go fetch my teacher to help. She's, oh, no worries. I'll just make you a new one. I'm like, no. Score. But anyway, she hooked me up. I got on the plane. I got on my Burger King to eat on the plane. The girl next to me is in my class. She turns around to me. She says,
hey, can I have a bite?
Funny you should say that.
Oh, yes. For two.
She was like, what's that smell? Like, oh, I bought some Burger King on the plane. She's like, oh, a bad day to be a vegetarian. Yeah, turned out she was a vegetarian. But she was like super chill about it. She didn't care. I'm going to skip to the ends here. On my way back, I did the exact same thing. Sat next to her again. Coincidentally, by the way.
You also had a Burger King.
Yes, I did. Yeah. So it happened twice. But again, she was super chill about it.
It rhymes.
It kind of... it rhymes.
It rhymes.
That's all worth mentioning about the journey there. The flight was normal.
And on the plane I sat next to, just a proper, you know, middle class, James Crampton level gal. She had one of them neck pillows.
Oh, she splashed up. Paid £20 at the airport for one of them.
She was the girl who had
that you'll never use again.
Well, you can use it for the plane back, so you get two uses out of it.
You get £10 for a small cushion.
I mean, if you're middle class, that's nothing, you know? Okay, so that was the journey. Journey's pretty standard. We got off the plane, we checked into our hotel. And, you know, because it's a school trip, it's not a good hotel. In fact, it's bad. It's a bad hotel.
What hotel did you go to?
I'll tell you why it was bad. It was opposite train tracks. So whenever trains would go past, we'd hear it at night. Yeah, it's one of those ones. Yeah.
The hotel we were at, it had a little thing downstairs where it was like a counter for everyone who followed their page on Facebook. So we were all just standing there and I'm going to follow you on Facebook. And then it goes up and everyone's
And the number went up.
So as you went into the hotel, on the left was a counter, the check-in desk.
Yeah.
It was ahead of you, the Facebook wall.
Yeah.
Shit, I think I went to the same place.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
Did you think it was shit too?
I didn't think it was that bad.
Oh,
please.
I'm just being a snob. See, here's
it was beside the railway track. Please tell me it also had, you know, a glowing sign with just some of the letters fizzling out.
It's like the sparking neon lights. Yeah. It says hotel, but H isn't working. L is O-O-T. O-T. Yeah,
still follow them on Facebook.
See, I mean,
I can't read anything they post.
I know I said it was bad, but in terms, I don't really care when I'm traveling where I stay, because for the most part, I'm outdoors anyway. I just need a bed to sleep in.
That's probably the first hotel I've ever stayed.
See, I mean, I've got to stay in a good hotel because saying
that fussy bitch.
Why pay all that money to go and get bad night sleep?
See, I don't really if my logic is. If I'm going away travelling, I'd want as much money as possible on activities. So I'll pay for a crappy hotel or hostel. Then if I'm out all day doing activities, I'll be tired and I won't care by the time I get back to sleep.
Yeah, you're not going to spend that much time.
I just need a bed. But I mean, if, say for example, I was away for a week and I was going to be spending I was going to be spending plenty of time in, I'd definitely splash out on somewhere nicer.
Yeah, maybe somewhere with a view. Just a weekend away or something like that. I've always gone
middle class boy
week long holidays. I've never gone on just a weekend away somewhere.
I used to go on holiday with you.
You do.
Crampton,
you do.
The Crampton family. Take Ryan Burr abroad.
Yes.
We can do one big podcast together. I'm here today with the Cramptons.
Fuck off! Fuck off! Fuck off! Fuck off!
It's fuck off! Fuck off! Fuck off!
Fuck off!
I look forward to it.
I love how you assume you're just going to do it.
Yeah, why not? Sure. I mean, you can't take Mark because then it'll be too expensive. I've already expressed how I don't care and I'll have anything cheap. So, you know, I'll just be sort of there. I'll be like the pet. You won't even know I'm there. I'll just be holding my little podcast microphone.
Well, we already have a pet, so as long as you're okay with getting dressed up like a Border Terrier.
I bunk with a dog. I think we stayed in the same place. What crazy days.
Wow.
Did you eat there at the little food cafeteria we had? See, we actually had to eat there on two occasions.
We had breakfast there.
Oh yeah, we had.
Besides that,
we had breakfast every day, but on the first day, because we didn't really have time to go anywhere else, we ate at their little canteen, and I had fish cakes, but they weren't very nice fish cakes. They were kind of sweaty. Yeah, so
how can fish cakes be sweaty?
Because the fish was honestly sweating.
I think what they had done is they'd been previously cooked in the oven, but and then just kind of just left on standby. They just shoved in a microwave. Yeah, proper a Crampton meal. No, of course. I only jest.
At least if I cook something in the oven, I don't then put it in the microwave afterwards.
Yeah, no. Even you have limits, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, the food in the actual hotel was fine. For pudding, I had chocolate custard. Now, that was really good. I went through bowls of that. Because it was like, you kind of went up and grabbed them. So after I finished my serving, I just went up and got more and more. So I was like going around the hotel at points, just like holding my bowl of custard in like the little bar area, like enjoying myself, having the time of my life. I think that was like the best thing I ate on the trip. I had more Burger King at some point. All right, so continuing with my adventure in Berlin, I checked into the hotel. It was, you know, fine. Then after I went for a bit of a wander, that's when we did the Jew Memorial Museum. So, like, we got off on, like, kind of a depressing foot. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't supposed to be a fun trip. It was a history trip, you know. It's supposed to be, like, educational and, like, in times, like, emotional. So, it's quite definitely, like, I'm glad I did it. Because, like, the experience I had was, like, none other. Yeah, balls that up. Trying to be sentimental here, trying to have a heart to heart, and
it just doesn't work.
No, not with my lips. Smile. But yeah, we did the Jew Memorial Museum. It was kind of sad. But then after that, I'm still on my first day at this point. We did a little bit of sightseeing. We didn't see anything big. Did you see Checkpoint Charlie when you went?
No.
We saw Checkpoint Charlie, the famous, like, well, checkpoint in Germany. And they still have people in costume. Are you playing your Nintendo Switch?
No, I'm just getting it ready for the break.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to say, because the noise will be picked up. No. This is supposed to be a professional podcast. I work so hard. No, it's fine. Anyway, Checkpoint Charlie. Then we had, like, you know, they give you, like, breaks, don't they? They're like, oh, go wander off for, like, an hour, do your own thing, but stay in groups. We went shopping. That's when I got my little Brandenburg Gate souvenir. That was cool. I think that was about it for our break. I just chilled out. I don't think I ate, really. I was saying, because we were going to eat at the...
Even if that pudding.
Yeah, that pudding to come. So we hadn't had dinner at that point, so I was still waiting for the hotel meal. Little did I know it was going to be, like, shitty fish cakes. Then, after dinner, we went out. We went and played bowling at, like, a little, like, bowling alley. This is an interesting story. Well, first of all, I should say, I went wearing a particular outfit.
Was it as a Nazi?
Oh, we were all thinking it, but we didn't want to say it.
No, but, like, I kind of wish it was now. No, I went... What I did was, for the trip, I packed a velvet jacket I bought from H&M.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, for a special occasion, I was like, you know what? Berlin's a special occasion. Now's my time to shine. So I went bowling with, like, his red velvet jacket on.
And it looked like you worked there.
Kinda. That didn't even occur to me until now. Yeah, I'm surprised no one, like, asked me stuff. Like, excuse me, mate, can I have some shoes? Yeah, I don't... that's something I haven't, like, noticed. I mean, this happened 4 years ago as well. So yeah, I went in my bowling outfit. And the reason why I call it my bowling outfit now is because when I actually did bowling, I got 3 strikes in a row, which is, like, the best I've ever done. I know!
Amazing.
Normally, I have the sides up normally because I'm not very good, you know? I don't want to go bowling and, like, get the balls down the gutter. I don't want to pay for that. But, like, during this trip, I was, like, really well. I was like, okay, my look's turning around. This shall now be known as my bowling outfit, my red velvet jacket suit. Didn't last for long, though.
No.
After this, you know how you have the bowling machines that, like, bring the balls back up?
Yeah.
After a while, it stopped bringing the balls to us.
Yeah, so but that happens, like, one every 2 or 3, like,
oh, really?
Bowling games.
See, you're actually used to go bowling a lot, so you know this stuff.
Maybe it's just the one where I'm from is really shit, but, like, every other time we'd go, you know, it gets stuck.
Now, for a bowling rookie like myself, I didn't know this, so I'm like, that's weird. I've got a good idea.
You just keep chucking them down.
I thought, Mark, I know what I'll do. I'll keep chucking them down to push them through the machine.
Oh, dear God.
I threw, like, 5-6 balls down the thing. But I shit you not, the machine started smoking.
Oh, my God.
I actually broke the machine. It started smoking. They had to shut down the bowling lanes. Oh, dear. Sierra, we after that, no one did any more bowling. We just hung around.
The one at home has a sign now specifically saying, if it gets stuck, go get someone. Don't just keep bowling more balls down.
I thought, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll push the balls through. That's actually very smart. The machine, like, puffed in some smoke.
How many did you do?
I must have run, like, 5 or 6.
Oh, wow.
Because by then, I'd run out of them on, like, the...
You've run out?
Yeah. Like, if I was going to carry on, I would have had to go to someone else's lane and steal balls from there. So yeah, we had to shut down Revolving Lane after that, and we just hung around in the arcade until the end of the night. And that was just day one.
That was just day one.
So kind of eventful, you know. If you will, it was an emotional roller coaster of like bowling fun and sad dupe notes.
Oh, did you see the graffiti of like the woman kissing the bear?
I don't know. I saw loads of graffiti. Like the graffiti in Berlin was like
pretty cool.
But it was like huge as well. Yeah. Like they'd get it on like sides of like what 4-story buildings, and it would take up the entire side of it.
Yeah.
It's quite impressive, actually. Yeah, but it was quite a lot of like interesting graffiti. I probably didn't take as many pictures of it as the photography girl on our school trip did. No, I think I'm always into like a bit of graffiti, you know. I think I've got like an artistic side about me that has an appreciation for that sort of stuff, regardless of whether it's legal or not.
Into that ghetto aesthetic.
Yeah, you know me. I like my ghetto things. Alright, so now I'm on day two. I mean, this is similar to yours. I got my train to Sachsenhausen and went around the concentration camp. Pretty sad. We saw the ovens, which was like, we were just like very like, oh, how to describe? Industrial. Oh no.
It's getting warm in here. How come the door's shut?
Is it hot in here or is it just the oven?
No. Hey, look, I'm working on the tan.
Oh, can we make these jokes? I think like 4 years later it's okay, right? Maybe? Yeah, we saw the ovens. Then we saw the showers, and this was like the shocking thing of all, because the actual shower cubicle that we actually gassed the Jews in, it was like 5 foot by 5 foot. It was very small. And we used to fit like so many people into them. And it was very, very eye-opening. No, Siri, don't speak to me when I'm talking about concentration camps. Right, it's gone. I can't believe you made a concentration camp joke. Because, I mean, as like a 16-year-old...
I can't believe I made that joke as well.
As a 16-year-old boy when I'm going around, like, I might think jokes like that, but like I wouldn't say
I definitely
them.
Was
not,
thinking
not on the location
like that, but I didn't say anything.
Dark humor.
I might have done that with like people who were in my friendship group when
you returned home.
That was the thing. I had one person who was in my friendship group, but I wasn't that close to him.
Yeah.
And then we kind of found another couple of people to hang around with amongst on the trip. So I would speak to James, his name was actually another James.
Oh, the best people in the world are called James.
Well, I never said he was. He was all right.
He was
the best. He was the best person in the world.
I'd rank you higher in like my favorite Jameses.
Aww.
So yeah, after the concentration camps, you'll never guess what I did, boys. We had more free time around Berlin. I went to Burger King for lunch. Not even a joke. We went to Burger King. Then after that, something quite strange happens.
You went to McDonald's instead.
No. Whilst me and my friend James actually were going around just like shops and stuff.
The shit James.
But, well, no, he's not a shit James. I just think you're a slightly better James.
Alright, okay.
I don't want to bring this James down.
James should be working together.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, while I was going around like the shopping centre place with James, we were approached by a young lady. About our age, and she handed my friend James a rose, and we thought, oh shit, no, we didn't know how to say it, because obviously we don't speak German.
Oh shit, oh, you're going to lose your virginity, oh!
We didn't know how to speak German, so we were like, oh, we were trying to say, oh, no thank you, we don't want to buy this, no, we don't want this, but it turns out, she's just actually giving my friend James a rose. It's like a sort of, like, gesture of, like, love, like a token of romance.
Oh my god! Yeah.
So then, like, she kind of, like, went, because... Well, how we found out was after she gave him a rose, she kind of skipped away. And like
skipped away.
I don't know how else to say it. Like she wasn't there. It was a fast walk. Then she rejoined with like her friend. Like they started to giggle. We're like, oh wait, they don't have any more roses. They're not selling roses. They're just giving you this rose.
Oh my god.
So yeah, that was interesting. So my friend James got given a little like
rose.
Yeah. So that happens. It's weird. I didn't get one. I feel like she ran out and she felt so bad for my friend James. She was like, oh, well, this guy clearly gets too much pussy. I'm going to give this rose to this guy instead to make him feel better about himself.
Aww.
That helps me sleep at night, thinking about that. Then again, similar to you, Mark, we did the Brandenburg Gate. But after that, we went to the Reichstag. I think it is like the German like government building or something like that.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I can't remember, and it sounds like I'm the only person who's been, so... But it's quite a cool building, so it's like very old-fashioned. However, they've added like a modern bit on top of the building.
Oh.
Which is quite strange, I know. We've got like this kind of dome.
It's like it's wearing a hat.
It's like it's wearing a glass hat, yeah. Like a glass fisherman's hat, sure. So you go into the Reichstag, you get in the lift, you go up to the top of the building. And you go along this like really wide, like sort of spiral staircase up
and
the
jump.
Up the dome. No, I have no suicidal tendencies, or at least I didn't back then. Recording this podcast with you started to feel wonderful. No, I don't mean that. So yeah, once you get to the top of the dome, it's actually like an outside section where you can go outside and you've got like some beautiful views of like Berlin, which is like really cool. I had another little photo shoot up there, of course. One thing that happened in the Reichstag was someone on my trip, someone called quite a big guy. He's like very friendly, like he's very easygoing, you know, like he gets on with everyone, that sort of guy. We got to the top and he did one of the most disgusting farts I've ever smelled in my life. And like I thought it was bad. There was like tourists there, like different countries, like you know, being like, ooh, what's that smell? You know, like obviously I don't speak their language, but you can kind of tell they've smelt something and they don't like it. Oh my god, when you're 16, that kind of shit's hilarious, you know. I turned on to my friend James and said,
when you're 22, that kind of shit's hilarious.
I turned on to James and I said, oh, Lobotrim, we're gonna start vomiting in German now. Oh god. So you know that. You know, like I said, the Reichstag is like a German like government or like parliament building where a lot of like historic documents have been signed. And I think that fart is single-handedly the best historic thing to ever happen in that building, personally.
Just got a wee plug, the best fart ever.
That sums up day 2, I think, actually. So now I'm on my last day. Day 3 is when I did the Olympic Stadium, same as you, Mark. That was really cool. I really enjoyed it, actually. Even though there wasn't much to see, just like the old sort of like tracks and stuff, it was just fun to like have like my own sort of time going around with friends. It's like looking at things,
yeah.
Taking in the views, taking pictures.
It was just like, oh, there are the rings. I can Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
Oh, wow. I'm just like Sonic.
But like the most fun I had was the fun I made for myself. So,
what did you do to the bears?
During the trip, like throughout like each day, I'd been taking pictures of the teachers. But like
so stalking them. Call it what is.
That's a strong word. That's not the word I'd use.
He would have been near the teachers anyway.
I'd say observing, you know, it's like bird watching except they're teachers and they have no idea. So yeah, I'd mainly get these pictures when like they weren't paying attention. So like one of them could be taking a nap or eating. One of the pictures I got of one of the teachers, Mr. Thompson, or Mr. T as I called him. I like to call him Mr. T. For the initial.
Billy the Fool who takes a picture of me sleeping.
Yeah, no relation or resemblance whatsoever. He was just like this white PE teacher, but I called him Mr. T for his initial. I got a picture of him eating a sub, and like it's quite a funny picture because he's like, you know, he's like, very bloated mouth. And as a dare, my friend said to me, oh, I dare you to set it as your lock screen and show him. So that's exactly what I did. I set it as my lock screen. I'm like, hey, sir, Mr. T, do you know what time it is? You guess what time it is? He's like, what time is it, Ryan? I said, it's tea time. And I showed him my phone with like a picture of him eating. You like that? And obviously, like, this was in like a small group, so everyone had to giggle. And like, he found it funny too. The teacher's like, but like, after a while, like, the laughter just like died. He's like, he only put his hand on my shoulder and said, delete that. I think to this day he did it in a joking way. I still have a picture. I didn't delete it. But, that tickled me.
Can we see it?
The picture, absolutely. I'll show you in the break. After that had happened, the Olympic Stadium, that is, we saw what's left of the Berlin Wall, and we did that museum there. Not much to talk about that one, really. It's mainly just stuff you have to be there to see.
Just a wall.
Just a wall.
Just a wall.
Just a wall.
There's one over there.
It's quite, you know, it was cool to see. Then after that, we had more chill-out time, and then it got to, like, the final evening, where honestly, my memory of this whole trip is very patchy. Like, I've got my notes here, but, like, I've had to put them together as best as possible, Because it was like 4 years ago now, and like because it wasn't one of my favourite trips. Not because it was bad, just because like other ones like kind of overshadow it.
There's too much learning on this trip.
Well,
with
other ones, I was with like closer friends, and like it was more like non-stop dance. But with this one, we got to our final evening. We played some mini golf. Then we had a nice meal. I remember the meal. It was very like sort of very wholesome because everyone has been through this like emotional journey together of like highs and lows of like visiting concentration camps and stuff. And during my meal, I was like on a big table of like what, like 10 people or something, and I bought as a kind gesture, I bought 2 bowls of chips for a table to share.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. It made me think like, oh, this is how like rich people live, being
oh,
generous.
Middle class.
I'm just like James Campton. But it was like a nice little time to like sit around and talk to like people like who I don't normally speak to reflect on the trip and like and enjoy the food. And honestly, that is all I can remember of the trip. It's all I have to report of Berlin. So James, it is now your turn to share.
So mine was about your experience 6 years ago.
Yeah.
But
For starters, you don't even remember the place, right?
Yeah, no, I don't remember where we went at all.
It's
I remember
pretty patchy.
It was in Germany, but I don't remember which city or which area or anything like that.
That's okay. Share with us whatever you can in terms of like what activities you did, what food you had, like what your time was like overall, and then we'll move on to topic of the day.
So we went to a campsite because this holiday was a 2-week holiday, and the first week we went somewhere in Holland and stayed in a campsite there in caravan site sort of thing.
That's for another podcast.
Yes. And then second week we moved to Germany and stayed in another campsite run by the same company,
mm-hmm.
and just with caravans. And so in Germany it was quite a, it probably wasn't even a city we stayed in, it was a nice idyllic town with lots of mountains, so we went on lots of bike rides and some nice mountain walks and stuff like that.
Very scenic.
Very scenic, yes.
That sounds that sounds beautiful, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the weather like in Germany?
It was actually all right, from what I can remember, aside from maybe one or two days, I think, where
we pushed it down.
Because it was like,
when it was like cloudy, I don't remember it being like,
it
particularly...
It was quite lovely.
No, maybe you got lucky with it.
Yeah. But to get up to this campsite, to get up to this caravan park, it was on a massive hill, a completely massive, like so massive you could get a whatchamacallit, lift.
Right. Oh, I see.
If you wanted to.
It was that steep.
It was and but then there was the option of cycling up it. And if you managed to cycle up it, you would get a certificate and like this thing. You actually was able to do it because it was so difficult. And it was like one of these hairpinny ones. So you would go up and then turn the corner and then continue going up and kind of zigzag up this mountain.
Like rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Tell you what though, I'm a sucker pretty for cool. that sort of stuff. Like I get a certificate. Yeah, sure. I'll go through pain for this.
And so me, my dad, and my brother decided to have a race to
the men.
To see who would win.
The boys.
The boys. And so bearing in mind, I'm
big
about
dick
16
energy.
At this time. My brother's 14 and my dad's pushing 60. So
really? Is that how old your dad is?
Yeah.
I never knew
like,
that.
He's like in the 60s just now. He's like 65 just now.
Papa Crampton.
60, 64.
I bet he's very wise. He has a lot of wisdom.
He still beat us both.
Oh,
he's always quite a fit fella. There were times when I was in front of him and I was just like...
What, like on all fours, like a dog?
No. I got to the top of the hill first, but was so tired, my dad was able to overtake me and then beat me to the office to win the certificate.
You drained your stamina bar.
Yeah, and then my brother came in dead last, and it was like...
What was he?
Weakling.
Weakling.
Is this a dirty race? So you're trying to knock each other off your bikes?
Oh, no.
A dirty race.
No. Should have had a dirty race. Oh, that sounds... Just punched your little brother in the face and knocked him off his bike.
That sounds like when you throw your own shit at
them. And bearing in mind, this was also a road that cars used as well. So we had to contend with cars, not just coming up, but going down as well.
That doesn't seem safe, to have, like, a hard hill to get up, that you have, like, a certificate... you get if you cycle up it, and cars are also going up.
Yeah.
It seems really dangerous.
Of course, you could also cycle down the hill. And my brother and my dad, who are big, you know, adrenaline junkies and thrill seekers, were like, "Way, let's do this!" Zoom! And I came down just dead. slowly. There's, oh shit, a car, stop a car, shit.
Wow.
Okay, the car's gone.
Actual baby so dick energy.
What a baby.
I just didn't want to die, that was all.
Where? I want to die. God. Where?
So yeah, there was that. Is there anything else I remember about that holiday?
Well, did you have any nice meals or anything?
I can't remember.
How about, I guess...
I remember that next to... the ski slope that you would go up to get to the campsite if you didn't want to go up to the hill.
Oh, the ski lifts.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was a Lidl. I remember that much.
And did you interact with a Lidl?
I think we went in there to get like...
Oh.
Like stuff to make sandwiches whenever
Ooh,
we went.
What kind of sandwiches? Yeah, asking the real questions here.
Ham and cheese.
Okay.
Nice.
Not bad. I respect.
And so yeah, there was
what bread?
Oh, and yes, was this in Germany? I can't remember. I can't remember if it was in that.
I've just seen a light bulb appear above your head.
Yes.
Go on, share with us.
I'm pretty sure this was in Germany. I can't remember if it was or not. But there was this sort of touristy place you could go to, and it was like a mountain biking routes you could go up.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. Alright,
okay. and because it was, again, on the top of a hill, there was another ski lift up to it, except this one you could pop your bikes on, or you could pop your bikes on a different one, I don't know. You got your bikes up somehow.
You do you.
Yeah. And
bikes find a way.
Yeah. And then, because my dad was quite an avid hill runner, and there were also hill running routes there, he said, right, why don't me, my mum, and my brother, we'd go do one of the cycle routes, and my dad would go do one of the running routes.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, right, we'll take the ski lift up and we'll do that. And my dad was like, oh, no, you can't take the ski lift. You can't take the ski lift. We were like, bearing in mind, I'm 16 and my brother's 14 and we were going out to do a proper cycle. We're like, well...
I feel like at 16, you're in peak condition, right?
Yeah, but remember, I'm me and I'm...
Scottish?
I'm
dyslexic. Ugly? No.
I'm dyslexic.
I'm useless. I'm dyslexic and I'm useless. So, yeah.
Sorry. The way you describe yourself.
I'm just completely, like, I'm a liability.
I'd think it, but I wouldn't say it.
Yeah, he didn't lose that race, he came in second.
Yeah.
That's always good, actually.
So we decided, right, we'll make a wee game out of it then.
A wee game.
So me, my mum and my brother went up in the ski lift to see if we could beat my dad running up the hill.
Well, I mean, surely if you're in the ski lift...
You would think that, but actually the ski lift was a very low... Was very slow and sort of...
Yeah, they're not fast operating things, are they? Imagine if they were.
And my dad was quite, you know, he was good at just keeping the pace going. We'd beat him, but I think by that, like, a very small margin.
Sounds like your dad's like... Quite endured for like a 60
year old. Yeah, he's quite a fit person.
I wonder what it's like in bed. Come on, Mark, what do you think?
We're
not continuing that part of the conversation any further.
Is he like the opposite of you?
The opposite!
He seems like the opposite of James. Like, he's really, like, fit and good at things James isn't.
Do you think it's like very suave, like very like posh, like goes on wearing suits, smoking pipes, that sort of thing?
No, actually,
he hates suits and I like suits.
But what about when it's time to dress up in a kilt?
I bet he doesn't wear a skirt.
He's not Scottish, so.
Oh, it's your mother's side, isn't it?
That explains it. That explains it all.
That's where your drinking problems come from. So I guess that was. I mean, your time in Germany sounds more like it was like a sports retreat in a way.
Yeah, and most of my holidays were because my parents are fucking insane.
They're kind of sporty, like
yeah.
So by default, you have to be as well.
Yeah, oh. I have to be. I choose to go. Fuck you, no.
And... I want to go on the beach with like a pina colada.
Exactly. Most people think, oh, holiday, nice and relaxing, couple of drinks.
But yeah, let's get our summaries now. So, James, I want to use some of your time in Germany. I know it was only brief, but...
Sporty and a lot of outdoorsiness.
Yeah? Would you do it again? Maybe... Would you go to Germany again, but maybe do something different?
Yeah, do something different.
Yeah. What about you, Mark? Sum up your time in Berlin.
We just hung out at Sachsenhausen, as you do.
Chilled.
We just hung out.
Had your first legal drink.
Had a couple drinks.
Yeah. Wow, what a lad. I still wish I'd known about the drinking age, because that would have made my trip bearable. It would have made the concentration camp more interesting if I was drunk. So would you go back again?
Yeah, I think I definitely would.
Yeah? In fact, I mean, I wasn't drinking when I went there, but I've heard the drinking prices in Germany are pretty decent, actually. Only a couple of euro or something. Not bad. Very smiley face. Very student-friendly, if you will.
I mean, if it's another country's money, I'm like, I don't understand that. I'll just spend lots anyway.
When you've converted the currency, it feels like monopoly money. Yeah. You can spend as much as you want. It doesn't feel like spending real monies. I think my overall time, I had a fun time, you know. It was a bit of a roller coaster, but overall I had a lot of fun. I'd definitely go back, maybe do a different part of Germany, like Frankfurt or Hamburg. Go eat an authentic hot dog or burger.
Yeah, Burger King.
Hamburger King. We're going to Hamburg for Burger King. I'm into that. I'd be down for that. Yeah, overall, we all like Germany. That's good. All right, so I need to do the little reveal now, but then I'll ask you guys things. So, and the topic of the day is university.
Ooh.
So the first thing I want to ask you boys about university, well, ask you first, James, is what made you choose our university, Winchester University?
Of course, yes, because obviously if you guys don't know, I am from Scotland.
This is true.
A lot of people think, why am I here? Why am I down literally the other end of the country? But I was, back before I came here to Winchester, I was studying acting in Edinburgh, and this was in a proper performing arts school, and it was a proper sort of, be the character, you become the character, you are the character.
Ooh, but
method acting. And
to be the postbox, I must become the postbox.
Exactly, like that. You joke. People were like that in...
Yeah. People are weird here. Like, at art school, people must be super weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, very glad I didn't go to an art school.
I'll tell you a story about it after I finish telling you how I came here. But
yeah, no worries.
And then after the first year of studying there, they were like, yeah... I'm not good enough to go into the second year.
Oh.
And to tell the truth, I was kind of like, oh, this is a lot more intense than I was expecting it to be.
So you think it was for the best?
Yeah, it was for the best.
Okay.
And I knew I wanted to do performy stuff in some way.
Performative performy stuff.
Yes.
I like that.
And so I got looking online for other kind of performy courses.
That's a phrase now.
And,
you're dyslexic, we'll let it slide, don't worry.
Yeah, and this course came up, along with it being done
The comedy course at Winchester,
yeah. Yes. Along with other courses, other comedy courses at different places as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I applied to all of them, and then just decided Winchester's probably one of the best because it's one of the smallest and calls them
even so, it's quite a big uni.
Yeah. And one of the big draws for Winchester was 75% of its students are female. Yeah, I still can't get a fucking girlfriend.
Oh, we're going back to that old chestnut.
Nah.
We've got some.
At the university in general?
Yeah.
Like, where did you get that statistic?
I think I heard it when I was, you know, looking things up.
Well,
about
the criminology course is mostly female.
Is it?
I'm one of. Yeah.
Right, can I switch to the criminology course then?
Oh, no, James, you won't like it. You have to think and write stuff.
I will do that then. I'm best at just, you know, whacking things and just being
whacking
weirdo.
Using puppets, riding small bicycles.
Yes.
So that's
that's genuinely what I do on my course. Ryan's not exaggerating.
All true stories.
What I do, but yeah. So I said I'd tell you a story about being in Edinburgh and in this art school.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
And so one of the things we had to do during the year was we got monologues, and this was like a. Challenge. This was like a do it before Christmas thing, like an end of term sort of
performance.
End of term thing. And we each got given a monologue from the same play, and we would have to go off and do it.
Do you remember what the monologue was?
It was like a collection of monologues written by the same person, and they were all weird characters and strange characters. The story I was thinking of was this other woman got given a monologue where what do you call them?
Slut.
A high end slut. What do you call a high end slut? An escort.
An escort.
That was it.
Oh my god.
She got the part of an escort.
I would just like to say the views of Mark and James do not represent the views of the Bear and Friends podcast. Please continue.
But yeah, so she got the part of an escort, you know, she had to be all sultry and everything like that. And so
I bet her parents were so proud of her. Sorry, carry on.
To get into the role and get into the character, she decided she'd go and do her weekly shop as this escort character.
Oh.
What, just like buy like...
That's cool.
Buy like a basket full of condoms.
Well,
I'm set for the day.
But no, like, do her, like... actual weekly shop.
But in character.
In character.
So what, is she stopping and speaking to people? Hi, I'm a slut. Do you know where the Johnnies are? Did I mention I'm a slut?
Probably.
It must be real fun to like work at like Aldi or something, and you keep having all these characters walk in.
Oh yeah.
And then, in all seriousness, this actually happened. She went and paid for it, and because, you know, she shopped in the same supermarket, you know, every week or so.
Uh-huh.
She got to know the checkout staff and
it gained some traction. It gained awareness.
And the checkout person actually ended up trying to ask her out because she thought she was hitting on him.
Here's the thing though, like how is he to know?
Exactly. But then, of course, what she did was...
Say yes, because she's a slut.
She said yes.
Wait, what?
She actually did.
Plot twist.
She said yes.
Actually,
but
I think she might just be a slut in
real character, life. She said yes, because, you know, the character would have.
Right.
But then she just stood him up and just said, oh, I'm not going to go.
Wow. I don't like this person very much.
Yeah, what a bit.
Why couldn't she just go? Why couldn't she go to the date in character?
Yeah,
I get, you know, going to the shop in a character. That's like a cool, fun thing to do. But at that point, you know, you break character for a minute.
Yeah, it sounds like people really didn't take this shit seriously.
Yeah, people did actually take it like Jesus intense.
Damn. So, okay, I'm gonna ask you now. So. What made you choose Winchester, Mark? What made you choose your degree here at this uni?
Oh, this is going to sound real bad. It's going to sound real techie. So I'm glad Jacob isn't here.
Go on, go for it. Go for it.
But I thought the website was really nice. No,
fuck.
Sexy. No, you
What? Did they have like cool animations that you You got like Alan Titchmarsh with his thumbs up.
Winchester Uni. Zoom. Oh, come to Winchester Uni.
Did you, was like the homepage Alan Titchmarsh memes?
I want to hear
the explanation of this.
Like a lot of other unis have really shitty, flashy websites that like are really hard to navigate and they're really frustrating to get through, but they just looked all flashy. And then Winchester's, now the website's been changed and it is all flashy and shit like all the other ones.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, back at the start, back when I first found it, it was like a really nice, simple website that was really easy to navigate.
It was quite, it's really like formal, but at the same time, like it kind of draws you in. I like the pictures they used. From what I remember. Now it is terrible, isn't it?
Now it's like every other uni. Before it was pretty good.
Before it was like a nice sort of like, I guess like posh formula to describe it as.
Yeah,
but like posh. Now it's very like, very basic. It's very, but I don't know how to describe it.
Very basic bitch.
Very basic bitch. I guess I would say that, but how would I like describe it in terms of someone who's like not seeing it?
It looks like every other uni website.
Yeah, like it's really very
flashy and it's hard to get through and you try to find things on your course and you can't find it.
Compared to how it used to look, it looks like this one, it spent like 5 minutes on it.
It looks like this girl James was talking about who went to that shop.
You two have noticed, because what I notice is they still have signs up around the uni that says, Winchester Uni, shortlisted for University of the Year 2017.
I mean, it was only 3 years ago. It's not awfully out of date.
It's still pretty bad.
I mean, yeah, like if you won it, if you were University of the Year in 2017, I'm like, yeah, you can keep it around. But you were only shortlisted.
Yeah.
And if you imagine how many unis were shortlisted, like, I imagine a good, like,
it's a short list, isn't it? So, not many. I'm not even joking. I mean, like, if it gets shortlisted again, they can just, like, scribble out the 17 for Biro.
20 in Sharpie. Yeah.
So, the website drew you in.
Yeah, the website.
What about the course?
And it was the course as well, because it was very, like, a lot of unis, you know, they'd list all the modules, and I'd be like, yeah, but what are we really doing? Like, they'd have really vague titles.
I feel like mine was one of them, but, like, I'd done my research on my course before I'd, like, chose it here. But if I'd done my research using the university website, I don't think I would have got, like, a good, like, feel for it. But, I mean, the reason why I chose Winchester is because unconditional. I mean, what better reason is that?
Yeah.
But the reason why I chose criminology is because my favourite teacher, who inspired me to choose it, Mr. Glatback, my old law teacher,
did you take a photo of him as well, you stalker?
Sadly, no, but I'd love one to remember him by. He's not dead. No, he's just I'm just here now. He was such a good teacher. He's like, you know what I was saying about, like, earlier? It's one of those people who just everyone gets on with, like, super chill. But during law, I was always, like, leaning towards, like, the criminal aspect of it. So he kind of, like, pushed me in the direction of choosing criminology at university. There's actually a few things, I've got a few stories I want to share about Mr. Glatback, my favourite teacher. I could speak about him for a while, but I've narrowed it down to a few short stories. So I mean, like, you know when you get asked, who's your role model?
Yeah.
It's not like a very easy question to answer for some people.
Yeah.
But like, I guess if I had to choose someone, I would say my old law teacher, Mr. Glatback. What would you guys say if you had to choose your role model?
I don't want
to
be a basic bitch and just copy what you said. But I probably would say my film teacher in sixth form. He was a really cool guy.
I completely understand it, because, like, without the sort of, like, direction they push you in, you're kind of lost. Like, they kind of, like, give you, like a goal to aim towards.
Yeah, I've no idea what I would be doing if, like, I didn't have him for film A-level.
I'm exactly the same in terms of my teacher. What about you, James? Who is your role model be?
Probably my gran.
Okay. Oh. How come?
She's not sporty like the rest of them.
No, because she was always up for a laugh, and she was always kind of, you know, the first one to laugh at something and stuff like that.
Super sweet.
She was sweet, never took herself too seriously, stuff like that. And, yeah.
Yeah? Oh. That was really wholesome. Yeah, I feel like that's nicer than our answers.
Yeah. In fact, I remember one time I was going over, staying for a sleepover at hers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we get there, I hear my gran upstairs. And so I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll jump out from the stairs and surprise her.
And so I creeped... Because that's not going to give her a heart attack.
I so crept up the stairs, you know, hid just behind them, and just as soon as she, you know, came round, I jumped out and boo! And yeah, and she jumped, and she was carrying this tub of coppers. Did your grands have these?
Oh, like loose change.
Loose change, tub of loose change. And she jumped, and nearly spilling the tub of coppers. And she's like, oh, James, don't do that. You nearly made me spill my tub of coppers. You know, you made me do this, and then demonstrated that she jumped, spilling her coppers in the process.
Right.
So she spilled her...
So in trying to show you what she almost did, she did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tell you what, we
just fell about the floor laughing for a good, like, 5 minutes.
Honestly,
like,
this explains a
lot. Rolling on the floor laughing.
I can definitely see her character in you.
Still one of the funniest things.
Skipped a generation, clearly.
It skips a generation. No, I like that though. That's like, that is super sweet and wholesome.
I remember when I was having a sleepover with my role model, my teacher.
Oh no. Going back to my good old Mr. Glattback, my teacher, my role model, there's a couple of stories I want to share with him, because he was the kind of guy, he was like the teacher who'd always get like sidetracked on like silly little things. He'd always like, he'd go down like video like holes, like video rabbit holes. So I watch a YouTube video relating to our lesson on law. So we watch like a case video. He's like, oh, look at this recommendation, top 10 fail. So we have to watch this. We'll just watch. I mean, I'd have to say, I had him in sixth form, and it was just three of us in the class.
Oh.
So, like, we just went down and, like, it didn't matter if we went off topic as long as we got our work done. So he was the kind of guy just to show us that kind of stuff. Something he said to us once just stood out to me, which is quite funny. We were just doing our work, as we do, during a lesson as normal. And he said out of nowhere, if you guys were trapped in a prison cell, how would you kill yourselves? And at this point, we're kind of looking at each other, like, okay, sir, where are you going with this?
I think teachers are allowed to say that.
He said, but I mean, by this point, we're like 17, 18. We're adults, you know, he's treating us like, I think that's what I loved about him. He saw us as adults, he spoke to us that way. He was very, very like respectful and that. So he said, personally, if I was trapped in a prison cell, the way I'd kill myself is I'd scale the wall like Spider-Man, then jump from the ceiling onto my head. And if I didn't die the first time, I'd rinse and repeat.
What kind of fucking videos was he watching that
Oh, but like, it was so, so bizarre. It's the fact it was out of nowhere.
Spider suicide.
Another time, again, doing our work, he speaks us out of nowhere. Have I showed you guys my sick stain before? He took us up from our seats, we took us across the classroom, he pointed at a little sick stain in the carpet. It was like, sort of cool. And he told the story of like this time when this girl was like feeling a bit sick and she didn't get to the toilet in time. I can't remember the funny part about it. I think the fact he just showed us the sick stain was like odd enough, like it was worth mentioning. Like it was like little...
Was it just out of nowhere?
Yeah, honestly.
Hey guys.
Yeah, we'd be doing our work and it would be like silence. And I think he'd want like a little icebreaker.
He'd get bored.
He probably would. Yeah. I think the reason why I look up to him is in a way I kind of see myself in him. Like in terms of like personality, I think. Just like general like silliness and randomness. And then, okay, I got one more story. He told us about this time he went to go get a haircut, but not at his usual place. He went to a barber from Iraq. And he went in, it was completely empty. He asked for a haircut. He sat him down in a chair. And then the guy went over and like locked the door behind him. Then pulled out a razor out of his pocket.
Oh, fuck.
And then he said to us, oh guys, I'll be honest with you. At the time, I thought, that's it. My time has come. But of course, like he was fine. He was just like being overdramatic. But I think it was the way he told his stories. And like it really like tickled us. I only had him for 1 year because... so obviously it was 2 years of sixth form. At the end of the first year, he left because he got his dream job as being a deputy head somewhere. So it was very like bittersweet. Like I was sad to see him go, but at the same time, it was really nice to see him
what he wanted.
Yeah, get his dream job. So before he left, me and someone else bought him a going away present. We went to Next and got him a tie with flamingos on it, And when he opened it, he said, "Guys, this is so sweet. Thank you." Like, he gave us a group hug, and he took up his time, put the flamingo tie straight on.
Aww.
I mean, after that, I did stay in contact with him for a little bit, because he gave me his email for, like, sixth form stuff. Because, obviously, first year's, like, all mock stuff. Second year's when it really matters.
Yeah.
So he wanted to see how we got on, basically. And when I told him I'd, like, passed my Laura Ayler, he was like, "Ryan, you are a legend." That's a quote. He actually called me a legend.
Oh.
And he said, like, "Oh, you know what? You, because you did," he said to me, like, "you didn't do a lot of high school, and you've picked it up really well. You've made a lot of progress over these past 2 years. I'm super proud of you." And, "Oh, sir. Oh, stop it." I think that's why I see him as my role model, because he's someone I want to make proud, I think.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's the reason I chose criminology. It was university.
Aww.
So we were talking about university. I was asking you guys why you chose your courses. I should say, we're past halfway through our degrees now.
Yeah.
We're all living in a house together now. Us, me, Mark, James, Jacob, all house buddies.
We're nearly two-thirds of our way through a degree.
No. I know, just about to finish, like a few weeks left. But I have to ask you guys, how have you preferred this year to last year? Because, from living in student halls to now living in a house together.
Because living in a house is so much better. Because hated the people were most of the people I had to share with in the first year.
Me, Mark and Jacob lived together for the first year.
It definitely still feels a lot different.
Oh, but definitely.
We just come down here and hang out a lot. We never really could do that last year.
God, no. This was because we all, like, know each other from that. Yeah. We were lucky enough to, like, actually get this house together this year.
Yeah.
I've preferred it much more. It's, like, super chill. I can, like, hang out around, like, living room and kitchen more, and, like, not have to worry about, like, bumping into someone who's loud or, like, got strangers around, basically. Because, I mean, with people on your course, James, the comedy course, yeah, I like to think I get on with, like, each of them.
Yeah, you do. They all love you guys and stuff like that, so.
Because, like, I think the people on your course are very easygoing, like, really easy to talk to and hang out with. Before, like, in our first year, we were like a mixture. Like, not one of us did the same course. You and Becky's were similar, but, like, not quite the same.
And the girl who left, she did psychology.
Oh, is that which one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went through a few housemates. We had a lot who came and went.
Remember, we were like, after like a week, like, I was in the kitchen and was already in there with some, like, bloke.
Bloke?
Yeah, it's like, "Oh, you slut."
Oh, you slut.
You've already done it.
You dog.
I remember, because I got...
Just a small wank stain on the couch.
Getting her...
Up over the cushion.
Getting her money's worth out of that degree.
I remember, because I got a sausage roll from Iceland. It was really gross. It was in, like, a box.
Ooh.
And, like, I don't know why, but...
I like Iceland, for anyone listening from Iceland. I think you do the good turkey dinosaurs. Please continue.
It was all gross and slimy. And I don't know why. I don't know if it was the box's fault or if these were just bad sausage rolls. I don't know.
You had battle-damaged sausage rolls.
So I was sitting there in the kitchen having it while they were there, and it was just gross. It's like, I don't want to eat the rest of this, but... Well, I can't spit it out in front of these two.
Sounds like a nice date. Smiley face.
That was gross. I hated it.
No, this year's been much better. One of the best parts about this year is, because, like, now we all live together, I feel like we go out more and do more things.
Oh, yeah.
We've, over our time at uni, we've had, you know, we...
A few adventures.
A few adventures, yeah. We've got some tales to tell. And for this next segment, I want each of us to tell our favourite James drunk story.
Oh, God, I knew this was coming.
James,
I knew this was coming.
I feel like... Actually, no, Mark, I want you to go first. Because then I'll go, then you can have whatever's left.
I'll have the fucking dregs.
Alright, Mark, what's been your favourite James drunk story? Because we've got a few of these, you know. Yeah, James is like a bit of a drink.
The most recent one, that was pretty good, I think.
What was the most recent one? Oh, no, we can't tell that one.
No, I thought it was pretty funny.
Okay, if that's your answer, we can move on to the next one.
No, I don't know. I'm trying, like, there was that time at the railway when we played pool against those guys, and we were, like, in a team. And then you went first, and you immediately pot the black one, and we lose. And we were like,
"Well, I didn't immediately pot the black one."
You did, on the first go, yeah.
Did I?
And, like, you were like, "All right, so losers buy the winners drinks." And then you do that. And then luckily they were nice enough to be like, "No, that's all right, you don't have to buy us drinks."
Thanks fuck for that. Oh, my God. Do you know what? That's a classic James Drunk story. Because that's another thing. When you drink, if you drink a fair amount, you don't even remember the stories themselves.
No.
I feel like that's worth mentioning for these.
Yeah.
I think you should have the floor and garden story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we weren't there for that.
I got two. I want to share two.
Yeah.
Well, one was like a drunk moment, but then the other one is a story.
Yeah.
So my favorite James drunk moment is when we were at a house party and you were like pissed at this point. You knocked over a can and said, "Oh no, my drink!" You picked it up, go to drink it, and you're sipping the bottom of the can. So as you're sipping the bottom of the can, it's pouring out onto the floor like the sad fucking alcoholic waterfall. It was a sight to behold. I'll say that. I mean, my other favorite James drunk moment, I should say. I guess you weren't drunk. You were like hungover. So you'd come back from London for the awards show.
I know what you're gonna say.
You were hungover. You didn't want to go out to the shops. You were very hungry. Now you had no food in, but you were like, "Wait a minute! I've got Burger King in my backpack." And then you then share with us that this Burger King is 2 days old. And then you proceed to eat this Burger King in front of us.
Oh god!
And it, honestly, James,
the thing they said was at dinner time, and I
no, it was at lunch. It was like morning time because we'd all woken up and come down.
It's like noon.
Yeah, lunch. Yeah,
probably lunchtime.
So we have found, honestly, you.
So that makes it fair enough.
Nothing for breakfast. Nothing from dinner the night before.
You had a couple of these. You had a couple of bites of this two-day-old Burger King. I was like, okay, James, that is enough. I'm gonna go buy you a hot dog. From the co-op, a local co-op will spawn.
And I finished that burger.
Sells hot dogs.
It was the worst thing.
You finished it.
I finished the burger.
James, I told you to stop eating it, you wanker. The reason why I said I'll go get you a hot dog. Oh my god.
I finished the burger.
At this point, you're not even drunk.
And it was simultaneously the worst thing and the best thing I had ever tasted.
Because
it was
King.
The first
oh,
food
good.
I had had in like...
Then again, you're comparing
like
it to microwave
hours.
Meals. All right,
yeah, you should
well,
have put it in the microwave.
Well, those are my
that
contributions. James, yeah.
So I've got two as well. I've got two stories.
Too many.
Please do enlighten us.
So back in first year, just been... I think it must have been... Bob? Or... anyway, just
okay, so
into a
BOP
night...
is like a nightclub. Yeah. Our sort of university holds itself, or like a,
yeah.
an event.
So this was one of the uni nights out.
Yeah.
And I was walking home, and I'd also been to Alfie's, which is like the pub that stays open till like 3 a.m. in Winchester.
Yeah. So you got Wetherspoons that closes at midnight. You go over to Alfie's when the party continues.
Yeah. And so I must have stayed over there till 2 a.m. or something, I think, or something like that. I can't quite remember. All I remember is waking up the morning after, no phone. My phone was nowhere to be seen.
Never good. Always like
yes.
Panic attack engaged.
Yes. Not least because I had also lost a phone, another phone, because this was after Christmas and I had just gotten... The phone was new.
This is brand new.
Just got it for Christmas. Ooh. Because I'd lost my last phone on the night out when I was drunk.
I'm sensing a pattern.
So I was really panicking, you know, oh my god, another phone lost. But I had a lecture to go to, and I get to the lecture, and one of the comedy lot says, "James, I've had a phone call from someone saying they found your phone in their back garden."
Already interesting.
Yes, already. Like, what's it doing in the back garden?
Of a stranger.
Of a stranger's house. Yep, I get the address of this house to go along to after the lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And I go there and I realise the house is nowhere near the route I would take to go from Alfie's to home.
So you've just completely just wandered
off.
I just
had a wee wander, took the scenic route home.
Yeah, you could say that. Complete opposite direction.
Complete opposite direction. Go and knock on the house, knock, knock, knock. And say, you know, hey, I think I've, you know, dropped my phone in your garden. Can I get it back? And the woman who answered the door says, sure. She's about to hand me my phone. And as soon as it touches, she goes, oh, by the way, you're so pissed all over my flowers, all over
Christ.
My back garden. And I'm sitting there, I'm standing there, trying to hold in a laugh, trying, because it was a funny, it was like, OK, okay.
Fucking hell. Does it not, like, worry you sometimes how you don't remember this stuff?
No, I think it's brilliant because I just think they create so many stories. It's like, fuck yes.
If I were her, I wouldn't have given you your phone back.
As, like, payment for, like, the flowers.
Yeah. Hey, no, the way I see it, I fertilised her garden.
What about the time, didn't that also happen in the kitchen?
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, you said you pissed in someone's kitchen.
Well,
just go around pissing in the kitchen, pissing in the garden.
I think I pissed in my own kitchen, but I don't remember any of that, and none of the flat were nice enough to tell me what happened.
Oh.
So it's
they weren't
still
nice enough to tell you.
It was still, to a day, it's still a mystery what happened.
Well,
that
I assume they were very unhappy with, like, the amount of piss on the floor.
Maybe they were all really drunk, and they don't remember it either, and everyone thinks... They might have done it.
It was a puddle of everyone's piss.
Everyone thinks it might have been them, so no one wants to
bring
it up.
To be fair, I did get my comeuppance because I don't remember doing that. I came in the morning afterwards, seeing a pile of liquid on the floor. I think, oh dear, someone spilt some water.
Oh no, James, I've been drinking again.
And they go to clean it up with, you know, a paper towel, but you know, there's so much seep through onto my hand, and I just realised, oh, it's just water.
It's
never mind.
No.
Go to make toast for breakfast.
Oh, what are you doing?
And because I think, oh, it's just water. Never mind. Then
oh, it's just water.
I don't need to wash.
Don't mind
hands.
When it smells like piss.
See, how would you not realise when you're cleaning up?
Because I didn't think I pissed the garden. I didn't think I would have pissed the kitchen.
Surely you smelt it because after
no.
yeah.
James, after you've had like 8 drinks or something, when you get to the point where you don't remember how drunk you are, piss stinks. Okay, it stinks of booze.
It didn't stink, so I go to, you know, thinking it's just water.
How is your sense of smell?
Quite bad. I have a bad sense
of
smell.
Well, that explains it.
Yes.
Wasn't it like,
and so I go to make
not
my toast.
Transparent.
And of course...
Wasn't it yellow?
Wasn't it yellow?
The bread soaks up the piss on my fingers, and I end up having pissy toast for breakfast.
You ate it. Oh,
I ate the pissy
gross.
Toast.
Oh.
I don't know what's worse. I don't know what's the worst thing that's been in your mouth. A two-day-old Burger King that's like already been...
Pissy toast.
I'm sure there's more to choose from. Alright, so those are the James Drunk stories.
Yes.
Or at least the highlights, anyway. I'm sure there's many more we could choose
and
from.
And many more to come.
I guess, other notable stories. So, like, what have been, like, some of, like, your favourite stories of uni so far? Like, in and outside. Doesn't need to be, like, necessarily funny, something you've liked. Like, one of mine is... remember one night we were playing Jackbox, the party game, and every time we'd lose, we'd take a shot. And Mark, Mark, you lost a lot of games. You took a lot of shots.
What my night?
Oh,
and you kind of... Max, you lost a lot. You had a lot of shots, okay.
Yeah. And it was like, I don't remember what it was, but it was something really strong. And you were like, Mark, we'll go easy on it. I was like, no, I can handle it.
You know what it was? It was Fireball Whiskey. So it was like, it like burns like as you drink it. And like,
you're like, have some water. No, I'm not a pussy.
These were big shot glasses as well. So yeah, it was at one point in the night where you were like, why don't feel too well? You kind of walk out of the living room, get to the kitchen, just stop in your tracks. You throw up at your feet. And like it just kind of splats everywhere. And me and James just like, oh, very, very goes.
Jacob, I don't know where Jacob was at this point.
He would have been at one of his societies, I think.
Yeah, I think he would have been at church. And you had a fear of...
Oh yeah, so
sick.
So yeah, like sick, so, seeing sick is fine, but like smelling it makes me go. Like if I smell sick,
so
I'm gonna throw up too.
To clean up, you're sick.
You should have
smelled it. Like I said, at the time, you really stepped up for him because I was like
my only moment of maturity throughout my 22 years.
Where we were like, wow, James is like an adult, but now you've ruined it because he's moaning about it.
You know what? But like,
now when I think about it, I just think about, oh, James keeps moaning about it. It's really annoying.
But like, after you threw up in the kitchen, you threw up a little bit more. Like, I was like, I couldn't help, so I was like paralysed by my gagging. So then James was there, like...
Right, fuck this shit.
Like you said, like, the adult for once.
For once in my life.
Probably won't happen again, but...
See, because that proves I can be an adult, I just choose not to because it's so boring.
Other notable stories. Do you have anything, Mark?
Oh, you know what it is. You know what it is.
Is it the story?
It's the Rose story.
Oh,
the Rose story.
Rose
I thought
story.
You meant Trek story.
That least favourite story that won't ever be told again.
No, let's hear. I want to hear the Rose one from your perspective, and I can always like fill in the blanks because you got drunker than me.
So it's like, I think I remember it pretty well, to be fair.
Yeah, it wasn't like, until like late when you got drunk.
Yeah.
It was like Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah, like, you know, like a day or two before Valentine's Day. We were, you know, hanging out. We were having a boys' day out.
Yeah, we went just me and Mark.
And we went somewhere and we thought, like, oh, there are roses in here for, like, super cheap. And you were like, Mark, it would be a good idea. You bought all of these. And then we went to Spoons and you handed them out to girls. That was my idea, yes.
Just before, because
we were like, well, on Valentine's Day, you're not going to go out on, you know, if you're single, you'll just look sad. Everyone will be
taken. Yeah. So if you prepare and try and get a date beforehand, you'll be all set.
Yeah, and because it's near Valentine's Day, you know, single girls will be lonely and desperate.
Desperate, yes, yeah. Very desperate.
Somehow, still didn't get laid. Oh. Might be spoiling the ending there, but
here's the thing, though. Like, first before we handed out the roses, we went to Weatherspoons. We had a few drinks for a bit of Dutch confidence. I ordered some shots in, and you downed yours pretty quickly. I was like, "Oh, Mark, you got through them quick. Here, have mine too." So you went.
You're okay.
So like, you had like what? You had like three quarters of like the shots, and I had like, a quarter of the shots. See, by this point, you were getting like way drunker than me, because we went through a lot of drink that night, and you actually handed out like most of the roses.
Yeah, I get busy.
Getting busy,
I was
boy.
Getting busy.
So you had like, say, like 12, 13. I think you must have only come back with like 4 or 5. So you, even though, like, you know, it didn't go anywhere, you still handed them out.
Yeah.
And I like to think that, like, those girls, like, you handed them out to, and, like...
The roses.
No, or just, like, think back to that day, like, oh, I remember that guy gave me a rose, it's very sweet. Like the girl in Germany in my story. Full circle.
Oh.
Oh, it was destiny. I love it. So, what do you remember from that night? Because you gave Jacob and, like, our old housemate a drunk call at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Becky.
Yo, what's up, Bexter? How you doing?
Oh, that really tickled me. Like, because at the time, like, I was just waiting for her to pick up, and you really said it out of nowhere. It caught me off guard. Tickled me.
I must have been thinking of that in advance. But, okay, this is what I'm going to say to Becky.
It's going to be funny. Brian's going to laugh. You know what? I did. Paid off. Worth the charm. That was a good story. So, before we wrap up, would you like to share the Shrek story? Or is this something not...
No.
Okay, no, fair enough. Right.
Maybe one day, but not now.
Remaining untold for now. No,
or at least for now. Can I keep this bit in to tease it for maybe a few...
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe one day we might finally get to hear the Shrek story.
Bum, bum, bum.
It doesn't actually involve Shrek whatsoever. But, hey.
Shrek is an adjective in the story.
Ooh, that's a little teaser for you there. But yeah, I think that is going to wrap up today's session. Thank you, boys, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
That's right.
It's been nice to hear your stories and experiences. Would you like to shout out any social medias today?
I still haven't got Instagram or stuff like that, but I should get it, and I will get it at some point.
Well, if you want to follow the Burr and Friends podcast Twitter, it's at Burr Friends, just Burr Friends, there's no and in it. You'll find it. Yep, I think that's it. Thank you very much for listening. End recording.